Now, James Luxford is here. Good morning, James. Are you there?
I am here. Good morning.
Oh, fantastic. Film critic, entrepreneur, hello. Nice to speak to you. Thanks.
Hi, nice to speak to you.
Oh, great. Now, it's a very interesting subject. I'm not sure how much is talked about it. Probably a lot, but I read recently that you had made a good research into how Cambridge is really in the limelight. It is the silver screen city.
Absolutely, yes. Whether it's around the city or in the wider areas of the county, it's really made a big contribution. It's of course played itself in films based around the university and around the city, but it's also stood in for locations as diverse as the battlefields of France and World War II in films like Atonement, a chemical factory in Tim Burton's Batman film, and even an army barracks for Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket.
Wow. And who's in charge of... So when a film company comes along and does a recce, do they have to apply to different colleges and different councils to shoot? Is that... Or they have one umbrella committee that acts as the yay or nay to filming in Cambridge?
Well, there's a lot of different bodies to go through, depending on the era and depending on the situation. Of course, the location scout goes around the world on behalf of the film, finding a location that best suits a particular time period. You have to remember, of course, for many different productions, that particularly period productions, often the area they're covering doesn't look like that anymore, with the reason Captain America shot World War II Brooklyn in Manchester's northern quarter. So they're looking for architecture, and once they find that building, it's a matter of applying to the council and applying to the owners of the building to see if, you know, the production itself would be worthwhile in terms of associating their building, their company, their association with it. And it doesn't always work out. Of course, one of the most famous Cambridge set films, Chariots of Fire, was not filmed in Cambridge when the local authorities refused to have it filmed around their buildings, because they said it would be too controversial.
What was controversial about it? What was the reason?
It's a film that has a very religious, which on paper has a very kind of religious clash in it, and I believe, you know, the authorities, of course, didn't know it would go on to become the Oscar-winning classic we all know it as.
And
so I believe it's a film about clashes of ideologies, and I think perhaps certain authorities thought it might not be good to be associated with something that has potentially contentious.
Mm. Yes, well, that's the thing. Yeah, but as you say, many, many more. And actually, the Chariots of Fire, they went on to film in Eton, is that right?
Yes, the film around the famous chase scene was Eton doubled for one of the colleges there. And I believe the local council authorities expressed regret that they hadn't given it permission, because, of course, it became one of the great, well-known films to be set in Cambridge. And a lot of the wider shots of the city were used to kind of establish the location, but none of the actual scenes.
I get it, yeah. So when companies come in, film companies come in, does it completely take over one street, are they allowed to take out a certain amount of days in the week, or they can sort of take over one week at a time, or what happens when they get permission to shoot?
Usually it tends to take over the whole street. If it's a street that's in heavy use or in use for another purpose, such as a college, they will have a certain amount of allotted time, and perhaps people going who work there or study there will be able to go through in between takes. But usually an area is shut down. You don't want someone, if you're, for example, filming something in the 60s, you don't want someone walking past on their iPhone to be in the background. And so they have to shut it down for a certain amount of time, particularly when filming. But it's flexible. If it's an area that's less in use, they can sometimes shut down an entire street. I know that happens a lot in New York. Whole productions can shut down an entire block. But it really does depend on how much of the foot of the building is used and how much that will disrupt the normal function of the building.
Elliot, I've got... James, I've got Elliot here. He's work experience, and he'd like to ask you a question. Fire away, okay. Elliot.
I'm just wondering, because you're filming in Cambridge, do you use extras, say, extra actors to walk in the streets, or do you use normal pedestrians?
I'm not in film production myself, but I know that we usually use extra companies, you know, companies that specialise in professional extras, if you like. Particularly for period films, people who perhaps look the part for a particular time, and so there will usually be through agencies.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, that's a good question actually, because you'd almost think that they would want to use some local people in their film productions, but obviously, as you just said, they use agencies as well.
But yes, absolutely, and it does depend on the time and place. Smaller productions might rope in people just passing by if they have the right look, if they have the right aesthetic for what's in the shot.
And do you find that Cambridge is one of the most popular places for film locations? I'm sure Oxford is another place too, but Cambridge seems... I mean, your article tells us there's a huge amount of films that over the years have been filmed here.
Absolutely, and I think you've got to remember Cambridge is one of those cities that, you know, retains its character. A lot of places, a lot of, you know, metropolitan cities tend to be witness to a lot of development, a lot of changes to the skyline. It's, you know, very London of sort of 20 years ago can look quite different from London of today. So a place that retains that character, retains that skyline, like Cambridge, like Oxford, is very useful for filmmakers, particularly in period pieces, or to be transported to a time or a place that simply doesn't exist anymore. I think Ely Cathedral for The Other Boleyn Girl, or for Elizabeth starring Kate Blanchett, they both played the same building played both royal courts in that instance, and it just offers a variety of architecture and landscapes that might not be available anywhere else.
If you think about film shoots, I mean, there are a lot of people people with their own homes that offer out advertising companies, or rather sort of film companies, to come along and use their own house. But when you want to film in such a prestigious place as Cambridge, you have to make sure you keep it tidy, don't you, for these film companies. They must have a huge amount of people working for them, and not only filming but actually clearing up after them.
Absolutely. These places have, particularly, you know, a major Hollywood production can have up to 1,000 people descend on often tiny little towns. And these are entire industries. This is a lot of trucks, a lot of equipment, a lot of noise. I know in Oxfordshire, Brad Pitt had to send an apology letter to the residents of the little town they filmed Fury in, because of the noise of cannon fire.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, this, as picturesque as the places can be, they can be really disturbed by filming of particularly bigger productions.
And if a film has been a flop, it's not particularly, it doesn't resonate and doesn't actually affect Cambridge, does it? I mean, it's just lovely that it's been in the limelight, basically. But I'm sure there have been films that have been filmed. I think in one of your article, it did say there was a particular film that didn't do very well. Oh, that's right. Was it the Charlton Heston one, the horror film, The Awakening? Oh, actually, no, that did do really well, didn't it?
It's kind of a cult film, and I think, you know, as you say, it never really affects, particularly a city like Cambridge, too negatively. The Charlton Heston film was The Awakening, kind of a horror film, I believe, of the early 80s or late 70s.
I think it was the 80s, but yeah.
And, you know, these films tend to be forgotten. Cambridge itself is a much bigger as an institution and as a city than any kind of production can can affect it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's films like the Sylvia Plath film starring Gwyneth Paltrow from the early 2000s, which wasn't particularly well received. But I think that never really reflects badly on the place, more on the creatives behind the film.
Thank you, James. It's been lovely. And what's your next city you're going to write about the Silver Screen City? Are there any other particular cities that interest you besides Cambridge?
Oh, I don't know yet. There's all kinds of places around the UK, and it's really a great time for Britain, really booming with all of the world coming over to our shores to, you know, films like Star Wars and all manner of blockbusters.
So we'll be expecting a lot more cameras coming in, won't we, into Cambridge in the future?
Absolutely.
James Luxford, a film critic, thank you very much for talking to us here at Cambridge 105 Radio. It's very kind indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.